Episode 38. In this episode, I'm going to undress anger and show it for what it is. Something that is kind of scary, but once you understand it, it ain't so bad. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. That is the call of the wild from the Brontosaurus. And I'm not sure how we have a recording of the Brontosaurus, but somehow we do. And that just shows you how deep into the archives this podcast goes. So thanks for bearing with me and letting me use that, because I've been wanting to use that sound. I think it works so well for something on the topic of anger as we are talking about today. And undressing anger specifically, it's like it doesn't want to be revealed, but it is our job, at least my job and duty, to reveal it and expose it for what it is. It's much like an onion, and onions can be really stinky, and you have to peel them away. And at first, they are both unpleasant, both anger and the onion. But once revealed, it ain't so bad, right? And so that is the key to it all, is like shaking it up like a Brontosaurus screaming, no, don't expose me. But yes, indeed, we're going to expose you, Mr. or Mrs. Anger, and show it for what it is. And through that, we find a way to move forward. And I have some really great info that has informed my experience in crisis intervention for many, many years. So we're going to go back into the archives of my original founding of the Response Training Programs, which is a crisis intervention model and a curriculum that I teach and provide to many different areas and groups, such as psychiatric hospitals and schools, and also do private consulting. So if you'd like more information about that, please send me an email, Rhea@leadingchaospodcast.com. That's a great way to link up there, and we could chit-chat about that. Or you could go to the website, Response Training Programs, and there are links to that and to me on the leadingchaospodcast.com website. I really want to assure you that I am very approachable, so don't hesitate to send me a line. And one person who didn't hesitate recently to give a shout out to this podcast was the Connecticut Wine Guy on iTunes. He left a review and rating, a 5-star rating, so thank you so very much. That means a lot to me that you took the time. And he wrote, "Thanks, Rhea. Great advice. Love your podcast." Thank you, Connecticut Wine Guy. And he continued with, "In psychology, we learn that crowds are a dangerous situation. When we talk in rhyme, we are prime for crime." That is so true. "So your advice is great. Keep up the good work and always be safe." Thanks, thanks, thanks. That really means a lot to me. So you too can also go to iTunes and leave a review and rating. It does help promote this podcast and get it out to folks. A lot of people don't realize that there's this free weekly podcast on crisis intervention skills and chit-chatting about how to make our world safer. And I think that's worthwhile, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I know that iTunes can seem a bit overwhelming, so look to the show notes for this episode and you'll see a couple photos that will tell you exactly how to find the review and rating button on iTunes, so that if you are so inclined, and I do hope you are, you do put that review and rating for the Leading Chaos Podcast out there. If that doesn't work for you, you're not on that platform, you could go to SoundCloud or Stitcher. Now let's get back to the topic at hand, which is undressing anger. And this is part 19 of a ongoing series, which I call the Leading Chaos Story. And I am reading out of my book, Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. And today I am on page 85, which is has a couple of things there. It's in the chapter called Creating Order. And I am looking at understanding the roots of anger and aggression, because that's really where you are at the point of undressing anger. The more you understand it, the more you are undressing and revealing the layers, revealing its roots, and it gives you a broader outlook than that narrow view of just seeing it as like a snorting, angry, disgruntled, huffing and puffing person. And that is the key, because what I do know, I totally know, is that anger, it is banking on you and I not knowing what to do and not knowing what to say and not knowing what to think when it's present. And it just loves those what-if moments. It creates that confusion and that chaos. And that is not conducive to creating scene safety. However, with a little bit of know-how, we can peel away at anger and undress its flame. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. So let me bring you up to date with a little bit of a story behind this. Like, how did I get this information? Well, it took place back when I was talking about this in past episodes, where I was researching anything I could find on the topic of crisis intervention. And I was at the Yale Medical Library, and I happened upon this particular article. And it was written by a gentleman. His name is Barry J. Nigrosh. He is a PhD. And the article is titled, Physical Contact Skills in Specialized Training for Prevention and Management of Violence. I know that sounds like, what? Oh, that's so thick. Again, I'm going to repeat it just because I like saying the whole title and giving him the credit that he deserves. It's called, again, Physical Contact Skills in Specialized Training for Prevention and Management of Violence. Now, for somebody like myself, when I saw that, I was like, cool, physical contact skills, like specialized training, you want to prevent, you want to manage violence. Wow, I got to read this article. And I am so glad I did, because there was a key thing that just came out and undressed anger completely for me. And since that point, it has absolutely positively informed every single intervention I've ever been involved in. And not only has it helped me, but I know it's helping the person or the group of people that I'm engaging with, because I am no longer in that state of confusion where I don't know what to do or say. I have a better idea of anger, and thus I'm able to lead it out of its own chaos and onto a sense of self-control. So let's go right there. And I think this is a good time for a little brontosaurus call to begin. Here we go. My aha moment in this article came about when I saw how he defined, Barry Nigrosh defined, the generalized cause of anger and aggression. Remember, this is generalized. You could really get extensive on what causes it, but I like keeping things simple. That's what the Leading Chaos podcast is all about. And he defined that as the fear of loss of self-control. Like when you're on that precipice and you just, you know, you're not under, you know, any kind of reason or rhyme anymore. It's just out of your control. And two things happen that are really stirring up the pot here. Here's the first one. The attack or violent episode gives the person a brief moment of power and thus relief from feeling hopelessness. So, you know, you slap, you yell, you stomp your feet. It's that like, it's like gets it out of your system, and it gives you this brief moment. And this is a key thing. It might give you a sense of power, but it is brief and not long lasting. And then the second thing can occur. We feel power from the violent act, but it also stirs up an immense amount of anxiety internally. That's it. That's what I took away from that article. Now, how did I use that, and how does that inform me? Well, let me take you on a little journey. I want you to imagine on any kind of given day, you know, you're waking up, you look in the mirror and you say, ah, you know, geez, I look pretty good today. You know, you smile at yourself and it's that one of those perfect days outside and you go out and you, let's say you're driving your car to work and you get in your car, you look in the mirror there, you say, you know, I'm still looking good. Yep. And you start up and you're going and driving along and you have to go onto the highway. And you get on the highway and you're playing your favorite song, kicking back, and not bad, not bad. It's going to be a good day. And all of a sudden, somebody comes by and nearly cuts you off the road. Now, how do we respond? Well, when I ask people in my seminars, in the response seminar, how they respond, there's always a giggle. And some people will kind of, you know, show me a little like that finger gesture, the middle finger or something like that. Or we'll start chasing that person. You know, we either give them the finger or we will start chasing them down in our own, what I consider our own private missile, which is a car. And before you know it, we're like revving up behind them and cussing at them. And, you know, you've seen these people on the highway. We've all seen it at one time or another. We've seen that kind of racing and aggressiveness on the highway. And so it's that brief moment of power. You know, we pull up and we might then, you know, not see that person. They take off and then we get to work. And then what happens? You know, somebody comes and says, hey, Rhea, do you want a cup of coffee? And I say, no, my stomach's not feeling good. Or, oh man, I got a headache. No. So what's happening there is that whether we realize it or not, stir up that internal anxiety. And it comes out as feeling sick, a neck ache, a back ache. Those are two things that occur there. And all these different ways that happen. Or let's say that person cut you off. It was on a Saturday afternoon. You weren't going to work. And you cuss and you scream and, you know, you get pulled into their drama. And then all of a sudden you look next to you. And who's sitting next to you or in the back seat? But a little person. And that can also set up an immense amount of anxiety. Like, oh, stupid, stupid, stupid. Why did I do that? And that's, you know, let's undress anger for what it is. It gives us that brief moment of power. We get a thrill from it. It's just, oh, I got back. And then at the same time, it makes us upset. And I really believe this also happens in domestic violence. And it could happen with parents too. But in the case of domestic violence, it's like that situation where, you know, somebody gets slapped and then, you know, that brief moment of power over on that target of your anger. And the next moment you're saying, oh, baby, I'm so sorry. There's that moment again, that power and that internal anxiety. They walk hand in hand. And this happens over and over again. And I'd like you to think about that in your own life, how anger has manifested and what it looked like for you. Sometimes, you know, you yell at somebody, you said, that felt really good. And then once you start coming back to reality, you might realize that felt good for a moment and it doesn't last. The feeling, the internal anxiety, that's what lingers. And that is so critical to understanding how to address anger. And we address it by undressing it, if you can't imagine that. Yes, we address it by undressing it. And the key to my understanding here was realizing that if a person is getting upset and angry because they are fearing a loss of self-control, then that absolutely positively informs me on what to do. All I have to do is give them control. Let me repeat that. If an angry person is responding out of a fear of lost control, then to help them and guide them and lead them out of that chaos, all I need to do is give them control. And that is the key to the ticket. So I want to talk about, well, how do we give them control? I am actually going to save that thought for next week. I will go through the different steps on how we could give a really upset and angry person control. And I have about 5 different options there. In the meantime, I want you to think about just your own anger as you see that, or you see someone else, realizing that that person or you or I, we get upset and angry when we are on that precipice of feeling like we don't have any more, our self-control has gone out the door. And what do we need right then is we need some control. And what I also really want to encourage you to look at is that it is easy to give a person control without giving away your own control. And this is something that I have had many conversations with during a response seminar over the years. I've had these conversations where folks say you can't give a person who is out of control control because that means you're giving away your power. But I disagree. I absolutely disagree. It's one thing if you are cowering and saying, you know, go ahead, do whatever you want to me. If you make a great intervention and lead them out of there, make them feel some self-worth, do a great crisis validation, all the things that we're going to be talking about in subsequent episodes here. I could do that definitely by maintaining my own control of the situation. And that, dear listener, is what leading chaos is. And I want to encourage you to go to the show notes of this particular podcast because I wrote down those 2 pieces to this article and I will repeat them once again here. 2 things happen when a person is at the level where they are at fearing a loss of self-control. Number 1, the attack or violent episode gives that person a brief moment of power and thus relief from feeling hopelessness. But at the same time, they feel an immense amount of internal anxiety, whether they are cognizant of it or not. And I just want to leave this last thought because whenever I think about this, it always reminds me when I was a little girl and I was so upset and angry at one of my big brothers that I threw my ice cream cone at him. Now, that is a classic thing. I got an immense amount of power and relief from feeling hopelessness by throwing my ice cream. But at the same time, oh my goodness, the internal anxiety of, oh my goodness, I just threw my ice cream cone. You know, what? What did I do there? So this happens and it's informative. It shows us what's going on there. And it's a generalized cause of anger and aggression, but it is a darn good one. So I tip my hat once again to Dr. Barry Nigrosh. Thank you so much. And he did give me permission to use this work so many years ago. And the funny thing, the little addendum to this is that I didn't know who he was. I just saw this article. And when I was writing my book, Leading Chaos, I hunted him down and asked for permission and let him know that I was putting it in my book. And he replied, and the funny thing, is this a small world or what? He is actually right down the road from where I am. He's not in the same town, but he's in the same Happy Valley that I live in. And I know that he's still continuing to do some work. So is that too cool or not? Wow. I just love that. Wow. You know, I thought he was like somewhere across the country or something like that, but no. Probably within a 30-mile radius of where I live. Is that wild? Yes, it is. So again, go back to the show notes, check this out. And I'd like to encourage you once again for your homework to look at the next time you're feeling upset and angry or you see somebody upset and angry, realize that that attack or violent episode is giving them a brief moment of power. And then watch how the internal anxiety comes. Next week, I'll be going on what next? How do you give that person control? What are the steps to help a person who is fearing a loss of control? How do they get it back? And that is a wrap. This is a Real Wind Caller signing off for now. As always, be kind, be safe, and remember to undress anger. All you have to do is peel off the layers and see it for what it is. A brief moment of power, and thus relief from feeling hopelessness. Ciao for now.